for us, because so many times we know that we are Trinitarian in our doctrine, that we believe that God is our Father in heaven. We know that Jesus Christ is His Son. We saw the Trinity at work when Jesus was baptized, when Jesus was baptized in the flesh, and the voice of God the Father came and said, "This is my Son in whom I am well pleased," and the Spirit descending like a dove and being upon Him, empowering Him. And it was after that baptism that He began His ministry. But first He was tempted. Now, we see in other parts of Scripture how the three work as one. But what we tend to do, what I've seen mostly in Protestant churches, is that we acknowledge that there is a Trinity. We kind of understand about God. We understand about the Son. But the Spirit, well, that's a little bit more hazy for us. And so we just acknowledge that there is a Spirit because, you know, the Bible tells us that it's that the Spirit is there. But we rarely study it or seek to enter into fellowship within the Spirit. Some people have said that the spiritual gifts are no longer relevant because we have this. We have the Scriptures for us, which tell us about the spiritual gifts. But may I remind you, we have this because the Spirit communicated the Word of God to the authors. This Scripture that is written and communicated to us tells us that no one can come to the Father without the Father drawing them. And the Father does that by the Spirit. If you count yourself saved as within Jesus today, it happened because of the activity of the Holy Spirit. C.S. Lewis puts it well. Some of the people that say that there is no God can look at the people who are seemingly confident about God and they say, well, it was made up. It's just something that was made up to comfort each other. But if there is something higher and greater and beyond us that we have never seen, how can we possibly imagine that there is something else there? Just the fact that humanity all over the world in different ways acknowledges that there is a divine being that is somehow creator and controller and manifests in different ways can be confirmation that there is more than just coincidence on this planet. And let me tell you, sometimes we can fall short in our understanding too. If we think that God's only work is to save us, then we fall short because God is interested in forming us just as He is interested in saving creation. But we are an important part of that because we were given authority in creation. God cannot just save the creation without saving the ones that have authority over it. So we know that Jesus came, Jesus followed the Spirit. Jesus said, "I don't do anything unless I see and hear the Father doing it." And how did He do that when He was here? It was the Holy Spirit that was in Him. So it's incumbent upon us to wait and see and study and look and practice to see what difference the Holy Spirit makes from us. Let me give you a picture. Jesus kind of does this. He uses a king. And I've told you before that a king isn't just somebody where the whole population says, "We think he's great," or she as a queen. "We think that they're great, and so we're going to make sure that they know that they're rich and taken care of," kind of like a queen bee in a hive. Well, a king or a sovereign had certain things they were responsible for the population, for the safety, for raising of armies. They had certain rights, the raising of taxes and making of laws with the council. And each side had their obligation to each other. Now, a king in order to be effective in that would try to get the best counselors that they possibly could. When any situation came, especially difficult ones, to consult the counselors stood behind the king. When audience was held, and they could confer and to see what the best decision would possibly be. The best counselors that are available. Now, this king sends his son to reconcile to the people who have always been separated by a wall. Not to keep the king in, but the people separated themselves and went out. Once they are reconciled, you know one of the benefits of being reconciled? They can consult the counselor too. And the interesting thing is that that counselor knows the mind of the king. This analogy falls short because we are talking about the Holy Spirit, who is not just counselor to the king, but is also king, is in very essence God. The Holy Spirit, he is not something other than God, not just a force of God, but is a personality and the very essence of God. It is, by the way, if you don't understand the Trinity, it's okay. If you understand everything about God and you have no questions anymore, your God is not God. There must be some mystery, and there will be mystery about God for us throughout eternities. I hear some people say, well, when we get to heaven, we will know everything. I don't see that in Scripture personally. Because if we know everything, then we become God. Only God knows everything. There will be some answers for us. We may finally understand some things that we didn't know before. But we have a whole eternity of discovery. And the Holy Spirit is the one I believe that God is going to use in order to communicate to us, even in the heavenly realms, that we will be guided and we will learn and we will grow with the help of the Holy Spirit and with each other. Now, last week I talked about the fruit of the Spirit. And today I'm going to talk about the gifts of the Spirit. And you might think, oh, isn't that the same thing? It is not. It is something that is much more rich and in-depth. They are for different reasons, and there are different expectations of it. Let me give you an example. In every believer, everyone who has put their faith in Jesus Christ, the Spirit is put within us, and we are expected to produce fruit. Now, as American evangelicals, we think fruit is leading someone to Christ. That is a fruit. But evangelism is a gift, not a fruit. A fruit is who we are as individuals. The fruit of the Spirit is expected to grow in all of us, and it is expected to expand in all of us so that we can be what God created us to be. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And by the way, the Scripture says, against these things there is no law. In other words, nobody's going to call the police on you for being gentle. Nobody's going to call the cops because you were loving. Wouldn't that be ridiculous? So these are things that we should all desire because they are desirable. Now, in contrast, we're going to look at the gifts of the Spirit. I'm not going to elucidate them, you know, one by one, because the list that we read is not an exhaustive list. There are other things listed underneath gifts of the Spirit, including hospitality, including administration, in several things. So I'm going to deal with that on a different Sunday, probably two Sundays from now. But with the gifts of the Spirit, Paul is very clear in 1 Corinthians 12, if you read the rest of the chapter. First thing is, you do not automatically have all the gifts. In fact, Paul is pretty clear. Not everyone has everything. He says, he gives rhetorical questions. He says, do all prophesy? Do all heal? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? The rhetorical question requires an answer, no. But that doesn't mean that we are bereft of any of them within the body of Christ, within the particular church. The other thing is, you notice that the fruit of the Spirit is something that happens inside of you and is for you, for the benefit of others, yes. If you are loving, joyful, gentle, kind, that benefits your family, that benefits your community, that benefits your church, okay, given. But it is a work that happens inside of you. The gifts of the Spirit are also a work, but it is to happen outside of you. It is something that is given to you, and Paul is very clear in Corinthians because he wanted to make sure they got off on the right foot. The gifts of the Spirit are specifically for the edification of the church, so that we might grow in our faith, so that we, in gentleness, with the fruit of the Spirit, might prod each other to good works. And Paul says that you may find that you have a gift. Every one of you in here has a gift. Okay, it's not like you got that old joke, you know, when God said this, I thought he said that, and I got passed up. You did not get passed up. Sometimes we just don't know how to identify our gifts. And I'll talk more about that when we go into what the gifts are. But I want you to know, I want you to understand, kind of put a framework on it so you can understand these gifts. Because Paul makes it very clear here. He says, there are different gifts, but he assures the church this is the same Spirit that's giving it. You don't have a spirit of prophecy, and then this one over here has a spirit of healing, and then that one has that spirit. All of these gifts are given by the Holy Spirit. Why would he take the time to put a whole paragraph in there about the fact that this is the same Spirit that does it? Number one, so that God receives the glory. So that we know it is our Father God who is giving us these gifts, who takes care of the church, and we can turn and give praises to God. The other one is so that we don't have any upsmanship. Well, I have the spirit of prophecy, and the spirit of prophecy is the greater than the spirit of healing. Paul does rank the gifts, and he puts prophecy right up there at the top. Okay? But that doesn't mean you're a better Christian or closer to God than the one who has one of the least gifts. One down in the list. The point is that we are all equal because we have a gift. Now, you may say, well, I don't even know what my gift is, and that's possible, but you may have your gift and be exercising your gift, and you just didn't know it. I've told you about my upbringing, moving 14 times before I was 16. Because of high school regulations, you know, to graduate, a shy kid who didn't even want to get up in front of anyone and do anything, ended up in drama class. I almost died until I got into the drama class and I found out that I had a gift for it. And God provided within that drama class 5 strong believers to help usher me as I started exploring my gift. As I started exploring that, I found out that I did have other gifts. It may just be something that you really enjoy in life. It may just be something that you really wish would happen within the church. It may just be something where you see a need and you go, you know what? I think I can do that. It may be as simple as that. But it comes down to this. If you don't know what your gift is, ask God what it is. Ask some other believers what they think it is. I imagine I could probably maybe we'll do this on the Sunday where we look at each of the gifts and say, who do you think has the gift of administration? Who do you think has the gift of helps? Maybe I'll have you put some names down and turn it in and tabulate it and go to someone and say, did you know that the congregation thinks this about you? Now, don't get scared, okay? Yeah. Sometimes we don't want to talk about the gifts because they can be a little bit scary. Our experience has been that whenever the Spirit manifests, as far as our American minds and our Greek thinking, it sounds a little bit kooky, quite honestly. But when the Spirit does it, it is beautiful. What about if the Lord raised up someone with the gift of healing? And by the way, if you're an elder, you should be participating in healing. The scripture says that if any of you is sick, let them call the elders together and let the elders lay hands on them. And in the prayer of faith, they will be healed. Now, I'm not talking about some of the stuff you see on TV, all right? What if it was a quiet, reverent service and in obedience, laying hands on, according to what Scripture says, maybe even anointing with oil, and watching what God does in response to that gift and in obedience? Wouldn't that be beautiful? Is that kooky? Isn't that what we all desire? And that's what the gifts of the Spirit are, giving us what truly down inside we all desire. I got a call from my son yesterday. And his son, 7-year-old, was outside playing with the hose. And he was close to the vent for the dryer and the furnace and stuck the running hose in the vent for the dryer and the furnace. The reason I bring that up is, first off, isn't that a somewhat funny thing for a 7-year-old to do? You know, it's a little bit funny. But my point is this. As soon as something like that happened, they called a couple of friends who knew about appliances and said, what do we do? Wouldn't it be nice if we knew, if we had something that a gift of the Spirit would be appropriate for, and we knew exactly who we were going to call in the congregation? Did you know your pastor doesn't have all the gifts? Don't suck all the air out of the room all at once, okay? But did you know that gifts that I don't have are available to me if I ask God in sincerity and it's in line with His will? But here's a framework to kind of help you understand it. By the way, Matheson's fine. He's still alive. It got late really quick. But when I came out of high school, I joined the Covenant Players. And I had wanted to go to college, but I couldn't. And there weren't really loans for someone like me. And God clearly called me into ministry. And for a long time, I did not understand, you know, the way college is structured. First off, I barely understood freshman, sophomore, junior, senior, okay? But I finally got that down. But what I also didn't understand is, I'll use the University of Findlay as an example. At University of Findlay, you can graduate from the College of Technology, but you're graduating from University of Findlay. You can graduate from the School of Pharmacy, but you're graduating from the School of University of Findlay. You can be the best student in the MBA program. To me, that was just a bunch of letters. Didn't mean you were the best student in the school. You were just the best student in that college. But it is all under the umbrella of the university. And that's just what Paul is telling us, that when there is a universal power, the Holy Spirit, that gives degrees and diplomas and certifications to people, who are willing to follow the program. That's all it is. The person who graduates from the pharmacy program at Findlay is just as much an alumni as the person who graduates from technology. The person with a Bachelor of Arts is a graduate just as much as a Master of Arts or even a doctorate. See, I didn't even understand what those levels were. I understand them a little bit better now. At the same time, we are given permission to go back and study again. We can go back and get another degree. Because Paul tells us, earnestly desire the greater gifts. We should earnestly desire those that are higher degrees and go farther into their studies so that we might bless our church. Because when we bless our church, then we can go and bless the community. If we are not healthy as a people, we can't make anybody else healthy. Where do we get our witness? In what Christ has done for us. Now, because of that, Paul tells us that one of the bellwethers of whether a gift is a gift or not. Is it for the church, and is it for the glory of Christ? He says, if anybody says Jesus be cursed, that is not of the Spirit, absolutely not. But if anyone can say, Jesus is Lord, and I'm not just saying with their whole being that Jesus is Lord and giving it in praise and worship, then that is the participation of the Spirit. And if you practice a gift, that should end every exercise of that gift. Maybe from now on, at the end of preaching, I'm going to say, Jesus is Lord, and you get to say, Jesus is Lord. Well, let's practice. Jesus is Lord.
Jesus is Lord.
Thank you, Lord, for the gift. Worship team, would you come on forward? Our engagement, please know this, our engagement with our gifting is not perfect. It's not Venus rising fully formed from the sea. Even Jesus had to grow in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. In favor with God? He is God. How can Jesus grow in favor with God? Because he had to learn how the gifts and the power of God flows through a human body to form his church. Why should it be any different for us? You might say, oh, I thought I had the gift of such and such, but I tried it once, and then it turned out it didn't work out very good. That doesn't mean you're not gifted. It doesn't mean that you know everything that you need to know. We grow into our gifts, and we all need help and discernment. If you feel like you tried something and it didn't work, go talk to another believer. Honestly, some people think they are gifted in something and they're not. Did you ever watch American Idol? And you see people up there and they know they're going to win it and they don't even have a bucket to carry the tune in. But are the other believers who have the gift of, did you hear it? The gift of discernment can tell you if you're hearing right or not. Isn't that beautiful? Discernment can say whether it's a worldly view or not. So I encourage you, grow into your gift. By the way, I encourage you also to resist the temptation to overstudy your gift before you enter into it. The study comes while you're using it. If you wait until you know all about your gift before you exercise your gift, you will never do it. Knowledge is not the key. The presence of the Spirit is.